degrees. And this week it's 111, so it's cooled off 5 degrees. So it's pretty cool in India right now. And it has been that way most of the summer this year. But when you get out summertime, people like to get around. Can you hear me okay? Get out in summertime. People like camp. How many like camping? I used to do a lot of it. Camping, hiking, all right, kayaking, that kind of thing. I love that kind of stuff. How many like camping? I call roughing it. Just a tent. No wheels, no communication. You ever do that kind of? All right, good. That's what summers are for. But you know what? We go from place to place. When I was a youth, I used to go to a place called Black Rock, Wisconsin. That's where I grew up. Awesome place to climb. It would take you close to an hour, hour and a half to reach the summit. But we would do it every morning. It was an awesome time. Getting around different places. Now, if you take your Bibles to Genesis chapter 32, that's our launching point today. I want to take a look at how God takes a man to different places. God uses different people in different places and what you need to learn. How many believe it's an accident you're here this week? Just an accident. I don't believe in accidents, amen? All right? I believe God has foreordained that you should be here at such a time to learn such things. And so taking a look at Genesis 32, we're just going to pick up randomly throughout the chapter to pick up a few thoughts. Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." He called the name of that place. Somebody pronounce it for me. Mayhem? Nahum. All right? The idea there means two hosts. A double place. Have you ever been in a place you wonder, why have I really been here? What am I here for? Morning tells my age a little bit. I put my Bible down on the picnic table and I headed back to the van. I got to the van, I couldn't remember what I came for. So I had to go back to the picnic table, think about what I wanted. Ah, yes, my cell phone was in the van. That's telling my age, right? You guys don't do that kind of stuff, right? Oh, you do? What in the world? I cannot believe it. All right. So God brought him to a place. It means a double host. Where the angels met him and there's some power. What happens at that place? Does anybody know? You know the story, right? What happens? That's right. He wrestles with an angel. In the end, what does he call that place? Look over in verse 30. What's the name of the place? Peniel. All right? For I have seen God face to face. What's that word? The last phrase there? And my life is preserved. Let's pray. Father, we need your help this morning. Talking about a little bit about preservation. That's right. Prayer with God. Not letting go until you get an answer. That is the picture here. God brought him to a place of double host to teach him to pray. What did he learn? God's going to change your life. Change your name. If you're willing to stick it out. Amen? Our problem is we pray a little bit. We give up. Anybody like that? Yeah. We pray a little while. God doesn't give the answer. What do? It ain't worth it, right? Let's do something else. Let's make our own plan. Now I want to show you another man who God takes many places. And we're going to bring it down to our level. Genesis 37 now. Places God brings us. Chapter 37, verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. See that? Going from place to place. Living here, living there. That's what we're talking about. God brings you different places for a certain purpose. Jacob's getting older now. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph being how old? Verse 2. 17. You got any 17 years old here? 17 year olds? 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, four of you. I remember it very well. God called me to preach when I was 17 years old. Okay? Bible says, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brother, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, with the sons of... Identify sin. Mark it. Report it. Get rid of it. Some of you got stuff on your phone you know right well you shouldn't have. You know what I'm talking about? We've got to learn to identify evil. He learned to work. He learned to identify right and wrong. Where did he learn it at? Home. Guess what? The world won't teach you these things, right? Sorry. Learn it at home. Keep going. Something else he learned at home. Verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was a son of his old age and made him a coat. Can I tell you what? The world's a rough place. How many know my testimony? I grew up for the first 8 years of my life in India. Born there. Lost my parents at the age of 4 years old. End up in an orphanage. Abused almost every day. I'll tell you what. I never knew love. I grew up to hate people. Understand my point? I learned to hate, to fight back. Because I found out people abused me almost every day. And I'll tell you what, it took me a long time to learn to love. Because I never experienced it. I got 5 kids today. You know what I want to show them the first thing in my life? Is love. They can learn a lot of other things in life. But if you haven't learned love, your life is empty. You know what? We got a mentality, and for some people, love is a hard word to say. I love you. Some of your mom and dads never tell it to you. Maybe you never told it to your parents. When you go home, you know what? Tell them, I love you. It changes their day. It will change your day. He experienced love. He learned love. He learned to work, taking care of sheep, right? He learned to identify sin. He knew when his brothers were doing right, when they were doing wrong. You know what's going on at home, right? I was talking to a bunch of kids yesterday. Had about 35, 40 kids. And I said, you know what? We got some secrets. And I used an illustration off our display table. I've got a little box. You have to try to open it. You know what? There's a little code. A little way. It's a secret. Some of us got secrets in our lives we need to get rid of. Why? Verse 5. Joseph dreamed a dream and he told his brethren and they hated him yet the more. What did Joseph do at home? He dreamed dreams, didn't he? Can I tell you, young people? Have a dream. Have a focus. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I hope, and by God's will, God's grace, I will do. Pursue those dreams. And I tell them, my girls, if you've got a dream to do, counsel with your pastor. Amen? This is what I want to do with my life. This is what I hope to do. Why? Dreams are good. Don't give up on those things. Maybe life hasn't been fair. Have you ever found life to be fair? It's never fair, right? But guess what? There's going to be a slip up here and there. Sometimes you're going to fall. Sometimes you're going to slip down. Sometimes you're going to fail. But guess what? Don't give up on the dreams. Someday, God in His perfect time will fulfill the dreams. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Amen? God can fulfill your dreams. So I find a lot of things He learned at home. Great place to learn, right? Had some dreams. Verse 12. Because of the sake of time, I'm not going to go into more detail. I want to take you to second place. Not even home. Verse 12. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel, that's Jacob, said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. He said, here am I. What's Papa saying? Got a job for you, right? Go find your brothers. They're in Shechem. What could a 17-year-old boy say? I'm busy, Dad. Right? Find somebody else. Do I have to go? I went last time. Can you hear me? We make those excuses all the time, don't we? Mm-hmm. How many never made one? Never made one. Ah, yeah, you lying. Right. You know what I'm saying? We make all kinds of excuses. God gives a command. God sends us somewhere. Mom and Dad send us somewhere. Guess what? We make excuses. We don't want to do it. We need to be learned to be available. Learn to be available. Okay? And so his father sends him to Shechem. He gets there. Verse 15. Verse 13 shows me the availability of the young man. Make yourself available. Verse 15. He found, and a certain man found him. Behold, he was wandering in the field, and the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? He got to Shechem. Did he find his brothers? No. They were gone. He's out there wandering around. I've never been lost. I get hiking sometimes, or I get driving sometimes. I get lost. And guess what? I am not very good with directions. Some people say I'm directionally challenged. I'm vertically challenged also. That's okay. All right? But I deal with this issue of getting lost sometimes. How many of you ever get lost? Mm-hmm. Now, I got a question. If you went to the place where your dad told you to go, and your brothers are not there, the job is done or not? Yeah, I went where he told him to go, right? I went where I was supposed to go. Did he go? Yes, he did. Is the job done? No, it's not. Here's the mentality. I did what I was supposed to do. But I didn't find him. What can we do? Head back home, right? Most people would. Am I right? Most people would have been, hey, Dad, they're not there. But you know what, Dad? He did not give up. The Bible says he's found wandering in the field, and a certain man found him. What did he do? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. You know what he did? When you get wandering around in life, every one of us will do it sometime. You're going to be wandering in a field. You're going to be wandering at the job. You're going to be wandering in school. You're going to be wandering with life and saying, hey, where am I? You know what you need? Counsel. He took a man that he did not know, and he asked directions. He asked for counsel. Guess what, young person? You're going to come to a point in your life someday. You don't know which way to go. You don't know which way to turn. You don't know who to look for. You've got to learn to counsel. Seek counsel. Don't be afraid of it. The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. We've got a mentality, I can do it. I don't need anybody telling me what to do. I was like that. I wasted 2 years of my life because I didn't want to listen to somebody telling me what to do. Anybody here like that? Hello, good morning, smell the coffee. We all do it sometimes, don't we? We've got to learn when we get wandering in life, when we're lost, we don't know which direction to take, which college to go to, which career to do, what to study, we need some counsel. Joseph took counsel and he got what he needed. He ended up finding his brothers. Third place. First of all, home. Secondly, in the field. When he was in the field, the job was not done. Understood? He kept going. Don't give up on the job, amen? Don't give up on the job. But he also asked for counsel. Now he gets to where he needs to be. The Bible says he's in Dothan. He goes to Dothan when they saw him afar off, verse 18. Even before he came near them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer is come. Cometh. Come now, therefore, let us slay him. Cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what become of his dreams. Sounds like a dangerous place to go, right? It's conspiracy. Is that the word? Somebody's trying to get after you. Somebody hates you. Why? Because you pointed out their sin and you got some dreams better than them. Where did he end up? Verse 24. Where did he end up? In a pit. Great place to be, right? How many have been in a pit? Digging a hole. 8-foot hole, 10-foot hole, 12-foot holes. I used to dig a lot of pits. Okay? We put up fencing. Not only fence posts, but corner posts. And the corner posts, there were big ones. I could go down that pole easy. That hole easy. Pit. The Bible says he ended up in a pit. Rejected by his brothers. Pleading for his life. You'll find that in chapter 46. He was pleading for his life. He was crying, nobody heard him. When you get in the pits of life, you will, guarantee. You're going to cry, nobody cares. You're going to cry out, nobody's going to listen. You're going to be alone. But I want to tell you what, when you get in that pit, I have a God who will go with you every step of the way. When you're out wandering, he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. I will guide you with mine eye. That's the God I serve. You see, young people, we've got to understand, even when we're wandering, even when we're made from mom and dad, even when sin is abounding all around us, we get in the pit ourselves. Somebody we thought that loved us, somebody we thought that was our brother and sister, somebody we thought was our friend, they turn against us. We're the ones in the pit. Our God will not leave us. I hope you remember that. Don't forget it. He loves us a lot. And in that pit, he cries. His brother made a plan to deliver him. Reuben says, don't kill him, right? He says, I'm going to deliver him later. That didn't work out either. You know where he ended up? Verse 28. I'm rushing, okay? There's a lot of little things we could fill in, but I don't have time for it. But verse 28. And there passed by Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. He's in bondage, in chains. Life's getting better every day. How many ever get the feeling, I'm doing right? Why are so many problems in my life? I'm trying to do right. Why is everything going against me? You ever feel like that? Why? Remember the thing with his father? God brought him for a purpose. In every situation, every place God brings you, there is a purpose and a plan. Don't forget it. You may think it's a waste of time. You may think it's nothing but trouble. You may think everybody's against you, but remember, God has a plan. That pit, God had a plan. In chains, sold as a slave, 20 pieces of silver. How many did they sell Jesus for? 30, right? Right. The price of a slave in the Old Testament was 20. The price of a slave in the New Testament was 30. People don't value him much. I don't have time to get you into concerning what the Indian mentality is concerning slavery. You're nothing. You're a piece of trash. That's what he was treated like. Sold as nothing. And hopefully they could return when they got to Egypt. Let's go to Egypt now. Okay? So number one, home. Number two, in the field. Number three, in the pit. Number four, in bondage. Let's pick up with number five. The Bible says, in verse 36, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's, and the captain of the guard. Chapter 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. Does anybody know what Egypt pictures in the Bible? What is it? The world. That's right. I'm going to say something. I hope you don't misunderstand me. And I will say this, Satan wants you in the world. Am I right or am I wrong? Right. Satan wants you to live a worldly life. Am I right or am I wrong?
Right. Sorry.
Now, some people tell me, and I had a young man come up to me after I preached this one time. He says, you know what? If God could use Joseph in Egypt, why can't he use me? Wrong mentality, buddy. Wrong thinking. You know what? Joseph did not seek Egypt. You see the difference? God took him there. Some of you are seeking Egypt. The world, the flesh, the fun, the pleasures of life. Egypt is a picture of the world. It's a picture of damnation. It is a picture of eternal condemnation. We never see in the Bible Egypt is ever redeemed. Never. It's judged. The world, can I tell you today, no matter what the Reformed doctrine people preach, the world will never be redeemed. They're lost on the way to hell. And if you want that crowd, have at it. But I will warn you today, it will not be fun. Understood? There's a lot of struggles. A lot of struggles in the world. So let's go find out what happens in Egypt. Okay? He brought into Potiphar's house an officer of Pharaoh, and brought him out of the hands of the Midianites and brought him down thither. The Lord was with Joseph. Verse 2. Underline that in your Bible. The Lord was with Joseph. No matter where you go, no matter where he leads you, no matter where he guides you, no matter how he brings you, the God who is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will still be with you today. He will never fail you. And I want to encourage you. God will take you to a place in your life that you don't understand. There's a lot of struggle, a lot of pain, a lot of problems. But please remember, he will not forsake you. The Lord was with Jacob. What happens? And he was prosperous. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. When God is with you, you will be prosperous. I don't believe in this prosperity gospel, amen? But I believe if God is with us, and one of my prayers I've learned lately is I want the presence of God more than the provision of God. I want the presence of God more than His protection. We've got Indian pastors right now in jail, beaten. And since this new administration has been reelected back in the office, there are more pastors going to jail every day. But you know what? Even in beatings and persecution, God's presence is greater than His protection. Learn to seek His presence. Here's a young man in Egypt. He found that God was with him. He learned the presence of God. Have you learned the presence of God? Have you learned that God will walk with you? Are you seeking His presence? Or are you seeking His blessings? You want something big. You want something great. You want the world. You want... Wait a minute. Better than all the things the world can offer is God's presence. Seek it. Live in His presence. And guess what? Where there's God's presence, God's providence will be there. God's provision will be there. God's blessings will be there. God's protection will be there if you seek His presence. Ask God for His presence today. Keep going. Joseph found grace in his sight and served him, made him overseer of his house and all that he had put in his hand. He became a leader. Not only he saw the presence of God, he saw also the prosperity of God. He not only saw it, now guess what? He got a position in Egypt. He got promotion. How many like promotions? We all seek it, don't we? But he didn't get promoted until God was with him. I had an older gentleman tell me, Brother Brian, in life, you sit on the bottom rung of the ladder. Don't try to climb the ladder of success. That's a world philosophy, right? We've got to get to the top as fast as we can. We got to make it all that we can. We got to get all that we can. No, that's the worldly philosophy. You know what he told me? Sit on the bottom. Guess what? When God turns that ladder upside down, you're on top. Amen? And I've experienced it. I've seen it time after time. Wait on the Lord. He will do the promotion. Okay? I told you where I was born, right? I was considered an outcast, untouchable. But God has brought me to the high points of life. I get to sit in the governor's house. I get to see some very rich homes. I've got to see some beautiful places God has allowed in my life. But it's not because I seek those things. Understood? Because God is the one who does the promotion. Learn to let God promote you. So yes, God's protection, God's prosperity, God's promotion. But one more thing we see in Egypt. One more thing we see in Egypt. Verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. What's in Egypt? Temptation. Where there's prosperity, where there is position, where there is power, there will always be temptation. Nobody likes to touch on the subject, do we? It's there. I don't know about you guys, but I'm glad the ladies aren't here right now. I'm going to say some things, okay? Satan has a girl out there to destroy your futures. You understand me? Satan has a woman out there to destroy your ministry. Satan has a girl out there to destroy your virginity. Be careful. Temptation is strong. And if you are not on guard, if you're not in a position where God is present in your life, you will allow those temptations. And you will succumb to them, and you will fail. Be careful. There's no man in here that says, I'm strong enough. You can say it all you want to. But when you say it, take heed lest you fall. Okay? Because the first man who says, I can handle all temptation, I can handle the women, I can handle the liquor, I can handle the late nights, I can handle all the what everybody else is doing, I'm not going to get involved. Yes, you will. I guarantee it. I write on a piece of paper, today's day, you come back to me 10 years from now. Anybody who says, I can handle it, you're the first to fall. You've got to admit, it's not about me. Let's find out what Jacob says, or Joseph says. Verse 9 is the key to temptation. How to answer it. How to stay far away from it. He had every opportunity. There's nobody in the house. He has all the power. He can do whatever he wants to. That man, that Pharaoh's Potiphar, trusted him to do anything in his house. He had the power. Please remember, whenever you get power and position, Satan brings temptation that much stronger. What's he say? There is none greater in this house than I, neither has he kept back anything from me but thee, but because thou art his wife. Hey guys, she's not yours. If you're not married, don't touch her. Romans tells me that. 1 Corinthians tells me that. Don't touch her. Well, I can hold hands. No, you can't. I can play a little footsie. No, you can't. Well, nobody's watching. I can text her. You know what our rule is? No texting after 10:30. None. You don't need it. Everything can be said in the last 12 hours between 10:30 in the morning till 10:30 at night that needs to be said. Hello? This is where we get ourselves in trouble. How many of you don't have a cell phone? Raise your hand. Okay. The rest of you do, don't you? You know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of temptation with modern technology. A lot of it. What am I saying? The Bible says, thou shalt not touch her. Thou shalt not look upon a maiden. Be careful. It'll get you in trouble. Temptation is there every day. Well, you're married. You know what? It gets worse. It gets worse. Because you know what? People look at our position and they think, hey,
There's a good guy.
I tell my wife, watch her. I've gone into a room and I told my wife, watch out for her.
Yeah.
I get a phone call at night. People call me 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. We want visitation. Guess what? Why? Let's go. I don't go alone. It's not worth it. It is not, never worth it. Can I encourage you? Be on guard. Stay in the presence of God. And that temptation, you will not fall. In temptation, you will not fall. What's he do? I want you to look at that last phrase in verse 9. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? It's not against her. It's not against her family. It's not against you. It's not against your mom and dad. Please remember, every sin is against an almighty, holy, omniscient God. He's watching you. He knows what you're thinking. He knows where your thoughts are running. He knows what you're observing. He knows where your eyes are wandering. Hello, good morning, smell the coffee. Am I right? That's right. Be careful of temptation. In Egypt, you will face it. In prosperity, you will face it. In position, you will face it. Let's keep going. Not only Egypt, but the Bible says he ended up in prison. Remember that? Did he tell a lie? No. Did he stand against temptation? Yes. Was he doing right? Remember the question before? Why does when everything seems, I'm trying to do right, everything seems to get worse? I'm in the problem. Joseph ended up in prison for more than 2 years. False accusation. Can I tell you, young people, when you do right, there will be others who will accuse you of doing wrong. Live with it. Life is not fair. Understood? Satan will do anything to get you in trouble. That's the way the world works. Okay? If you're running for the highest office of the land, guess what? They're going to dig out every wrong thing you've ever done. You know what I'm talking about. Be careful of the mistakes, the looks, the decisions, the texts, the photos that you're doing today. One day, they may come back to haunt you. Okay? Be very careful. What am I saying? Temptation is there. He passed the test, did he not? Amen? Passed the test with flying colors. He got accused of adultery, abuse, rape. He got to end up in jail. Over 2 years of his life, he interpreted dreams. My time's short. You're going to have to listen fast. Are you ready? Are you ready? The Bible says he ended up in prison. 2 years later, he came out of prison. After somebody forgotten him, he came to stand before Pharaoh. Remember that story? Did he interpret a dream? Right? I'm talking fast, okay? 7 years famine, right? Coming up. He was selected for what? To be the prime minister of the land. From a shepherd boy at home to become the prime minister of Egypt. Wow. Why? God takes you to places in your life you may not understand. God will take you through circumstances you may fail. Be careful. Well, what's God's purpose? To raise you up. It's not according to the world standards. Did he seek that office? Did he run for election? No, he didn't, did he? He is the one who was in the prison. They brought him out hastily, shaved his head. He stood before Pharaoh. Next thing, he's got a ring on his hand. You're the top man. You're the top dog now. Everybody bows to you. Brothers came. What happens? He preserves a nation. Young people, listen to me very carefully and I'm finished. God has a plan for your life, taking you from place to place. Why? He wants you to preserve somebody's life. You got a job. Don't forget it. You got a story to tell to preserve somebody's life. God took me, a 4-year-old boy, out of India, brought me to America. Why? To take me back to India to preserve somebody's life. They meant it for evil. God meant it for? good. All those places you visit in life, God got a plan for it. Ultimately, so that you can preserve someone else's life. But if you fail, how are you going to help somebody else? Understood? If you mess up with relationships now, you're going to have struggle with relationships later. How are you going to counsel somebody else? Young person, listen carefully. God has a job for you. Whether a preacher, a mechanic, a plumber, a farmer, a missionary, your job is to preserve somebody else's life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you doing what God is taking you station by station? Because guess what? If you mess up now, you can't help somebody else later. Ultimate goal in life is that you be that preacher. You be that missionary. You be that pastor. You be that leader. You be that Sunday school teacher. You be that junior church worker. You be that bus ministry worker. You be that faithful young man that you can preserve someone else's life. Are you messing up? Are you living right? You say, Brother Pratt, I've already messed up a couple times. I've been sent places, I messed up. I've been in temptation, I've messed up. I've gone places I know I shouldn't have. I've been watching, I've been touching, I've been doing this and that. I know I shouldn't. Please pray for me. Will you lift up a hand? Thank you, God bless you. Thanks for being honest. Pornography is a big issue. Wickedness is a big issue. Thank you. Anybody else? Please pray for me. And if you want someone to counsel with you right now, you know you got something you need to change. You know you God's got a calling on your life to be that preserver. Now I want you to stand. Yes, thank you. Come forward. Anybody else? Come forward. I want to be encouragement to you today. If somebody here say, hey, Brother Pratt, I need prayer. I need prayer with somebody today. Just stand up and come up. We want to help you. We want to see you surrender your life. Yes, come on up here, guys. We want to see you surrender your life so you can be used of God to preserve somebody someday. You can be that missionary. But God's got places to train you. You can be that pastor. You can be that leader. So God can use you in the future. Yes, thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Will you step forward? Joseph stepped forward. He didn't look backwards. Now, one thing I find in the scriptures, Joseph never complained. Every step of the way. Why? God was with him. If you want prayer, why don't you come? Now is the time to do it, young guys. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry when you get home. Don't worry about tonight. Will you come now? Thank you. Will you be honest with God? God, I know He's got a plan for me, but I don't understand it today. I got some issues at home. I got issues with my personal life. I got issues that I deal with every day. Nobody else seems to understand. Will you come? God has a plan. He'll work it out. Lord Todd, will you pray for us?
Young people, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, before we pray, Brother Pratt gave us some direct preaching from the Bible. And he hit on some things directly that affect you and I as men. Now's the time. God may be really dealing with you. And I know we don't have a piano playing and it's not a big service. That doesn't matter. God's working on your heart. If there is something, are you bitter? Are you angry? Maybe at mom and dad or brother or sister. You got something on that cell phone that you know shouldn't be there? Are you sneaking a peek at pornography? Maybe it's music. Gentlemen, now is the time. I would hate. I would be heartbroken if one of you got up and left this service today, and today was the last day that God worked in your heart. Don't let it go. I beg you to talk to somebody. Let's pray. Father, I ask you. I ask you that you would work. Your word is powerful. It's sharp. God, I thank you that you're not a God that will just smack us down and leave us be because we've sinned, because we've failed. I thank you that you're a God of mercy. And in your mercy, you deliver one more message to us, to each one of us, that we can get some things right, that we can make a decision. I pray, Lord, that if there's one, if there's two, if there's three, if there's more, if there's any, right now, that you would not let them go before they got something settled with you. I thank you for these counselors who are willing to talk, willing to pray, willing to help lead a young man to a decision. Gentlemen, one last thing. It could be that one of you, that more of you, are feeling maybe the call. God's working in your heart that He wants you to preach, wants you to be a missionary. Maybe that's never crossed your mind. Maybe God's dealing with you now. I beg you, before this day is out, before this morning is out, that you would talk to a counselor, talk to Brother Pratt, talk to me. Don't let that go. Father, I thank you the power of your word. And I thank you, Lord, for the preaching of your word. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in hearts. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy in letting us hear your word preached one more time. In your name I pray. Amen.